is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bone for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Kelly's Home Center, the National Insurance Board, Popeyes, Ron's Electric Motors, and the World Athletics World Relays.
The Foundation.
Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a glorious day. I don't care how gloomy it is, what trials and tribulations you're going through, you are in the land of the living. There's opportunity for growth, expansion, and just maybe a mistrial. We're going to talk about these things and have a good conversation with you. As we're here to being able to do those things, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper, all the information's in there, so you can be abreast as to exactly what I'm excited to dive into this today. Excited to kind of talk about this, you know, for the entire week. Over the past several days, we've been having conversations about politics, and more specifically, Free National Movement politics. For all those indifferent, I got 8,000 telephone calls yesterday, I might as well tell you that. That wasn't bad. Good telephone calls, just trying to be able to give me clarity and understanding as to exactly what's happening, and more specifically, how I tell Garth this is what's happening within the Free National Movement at this particular time. But today, we're going to take some of the same course, talk about national events, and talk about where we are for growth and development. And before we do that, got a shout out to my good, decent people over at Da Vinci's Printing Innovators. They got everything laid out for you if you're in the market for being able to make that presentation pop. That project, you want to be able to put that together, put the proper graphics to that in terms of presentation and how you want to do that, you got to check Da Vinci Printing out for you. Da Vinci Printing 242, you can be able to see them, DaVinciPrinting242.com. They got everything there for you. They are in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Go there, get your tied envelopes taken care of. Get all those particular things taken care of in that space that you're in. Get your, I see a lot of persons going to prom and debutante balls and all those things for your weddings and funerals and so forth and so on. These are booklets. They can do that for you. They can structure it and make it easy. If you were assigned to do that within your family, you want to be able to reach out to Da Vinci Printing Innovators. They can be able to assist you with those things. They are my good, decent people. I'm grateful for them. Always grateful for them to be able to do that. They are truly community partners, so I'm grateful to kind of have them tag along with us as we do our thing here in the foundation. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. If you're in the market for being able to get yourself insured, let's talk about it. Get your vehicle insured, your SDs, your taxis, your liveries, your jet skis, all these particular things, they do in-house financing. Go down and check out my good friend, Ethric Bow. He and I had an extensive conversation this morning about contribution and really being able to understand our part in the overall community and how we can be able to make a difference in those particular spaces. I'm almost grateful to be able to talk to Ethro. He's Ethric. He's really a mentor and many respect so much for his encouragement in those areas. Guys, go check him out. 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. I am always grateful to be able to talk about it. They're open on Saturdays also. Pick up your Guardian newspaper, guys. The Guardian newspaper, MP's ex testifies in a rape case. Woman claims Cornish raped, assaulted her. All the information's in the paper. You can be able to read that story. It's right there at the top of the page. Printout hits at government's move to change Grand Bahama Port Authority as power regulator. Many shantytown residents in country legally, this is with the figure show, and then natural gas operators has to hire qualified Bahamians. This is what actually a bill says we can be able to talk about these things today. If you had an opportunity to be able to follow me, if you are on my WhatsApp, if you're on anything that we do for here at the Foundation, if you're not, check it out, thefoundation242.com, thefoundation242.com. You could be able to pick that up. Today we're speaking with someone who I hold in high esteem, in high regard. I really do. I am. I often say this, and I said this to you from a public standpoint, that I believe his voice is significant. Yesterday we had a very good conversation with my good friend Ambassador Devin Roll, and Devin said something that I thought was peculiar. I wrote it down. In a unique manner, he says, Howard, the people, we celebrate our 51st year as a nation, as an independent nation. After coming out of the 50th year, we're now experiencing the outer bands of the pilloning era. And I thought it was peculiar that he would say something like that. Then you start to make an assessment, and he may be right. As it relates to this new era that we're in, new dispensation, this kind of a this new posture of being able to speak specifically with attached or tethered to conviction, I think that this voice here is one of the voices that can be able to speak strength to political organizations and in turn really be able to energize the country to move towards participation. I think over the past several election cycles, we've seen a significant decrease. I don't know whether that becomes lackluster candidates, no one really being able to motivate them, who knows? But when we saw my very good friend sit on Jerome Sawyer with Big Bad Brad and hold his own, we knew that this was someone to be able to watch significantly and watch his grow tremendously within the political field. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to a very good friend and a friend of the show. He's been here, I think, last year at the same time. A very good friend of the show, none other than Ellsworth Johnson. He's a former cabinet minister and definitely a member of parliament. I want to thank him so very kindly for being here. My brother, say good
afternoon. Thank you very much, Mr. Grant. And it's a delight to be here with you this afternoon.
You bring all your suit today. I don't know if they tell you. You must be in court today.
Yeah, right? Court. Yeah.
I can't invite you there.
The judge, we had to reschedule it. And so I went to my dentist, to my scheduled thing. And I want to apologize to them. For the way I carried on.
The dentist?
Yes.
Well, I hope you still got that little trace of Novocaine in you. And you
no,
don't
no.
slur, no speech.
No.
My brother, it's grateful. I'm grateful to be able to see you. Now, I don't know if the person's told you. I think we can get right to it. I read some information earlier today. I think a lot of persons want to talk about this. I had to go run back in the car and get the telephone. But I read some information. I think it came from Our News today that spoke about the trial that is with Member of Parliament for North Abaco, Kirk Cornish. And I think there was a compromise within the jury selection. So I'm sure we're going to have an opportunity to be able to talk about those things. I'm looking for it right now to be able to tell you those things. But beyond that, I think the atmosphere is actually charged right now. I think from we saw the Prime Minister from the by-election and the Prime Minister being able to hit people in the constituencies and walk about, and there's sort of a speculation and idea that it's going to be a snap election and this kind of a election fever that seems to be able to loom just on the outskirts of the Bahamas. Always, any whim, at any time, people, oh, it's going to be a snap election, it's an election. With the convention coming up after the announcements were made last week, Friday, with the conventions coming up for the Free National Movement, to all positions are open, everything is available, there has been significant predictions made. There has been relentless conversations being had about the trifecta of leadership, and that trifecta being leader, deputy leader, and chairman. And while the speculation relentlessly is talking about Dr. Minnis and Michael Pintard in his respective position as leader of the Free National Movement, there has been sort of a question put forward as to who's going to be a strong champion, who's going to be able to speak with this kind of a zealous posture and understanding the Constitution of the Free National Movement, but speaking with a clarity of where the country needs to go. I put your name in a hat. I don't know if they called. I don't know if they told you.
I was told about that.
I was getting your business. You didn't tell me to say this.
Yeah.
But I was getting your business. Now, I want to say this to you. I don't know your posture, your position, whether or not this is something that you're considering. I don't know these particular things. You've always remained steadfast to your commitment to the Free National Movement and its constitution. But let me know whether or not First and foremost, have you given this any consideration, or what do you think the embodiment of a chairman should be at this particular time?
Yes. First, before I begin, I would just like to thank you for having me here to your show and commend you as a, for the work that you do. It is tremendously important to the stability of any country, the Fourth Estate. As a matter of fact, I was watching something the other night, and it looked at when despots take power, one of the first things they do is try to eradicate a free, open, honest, and fearless media.
Absolutely.
Because the media, when it's conducting itself as it ought to, helps to actualize or give life to the freedom of conscience and expressions, and all of those things itemized in Article 15 of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lonely experience, and you pay the price for it, so I want to commend you for that. In terms of, the other thing I want to say before I start is that I do not speak on behalf of the
Free National Movement.
I want to get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, in terms of this discussion on leadership, I think we should contextualize it, if I may.
I'd love that.
Because when we speak about party politics, the majority of times it is self-serving, selfish, and it has very little to do with the development of a country. So I normally take my mark from the Constitution, then the Constitution of our party. But I had a read of a book that I bought in 1997,
mm-hmm.
and it's Race Matters by a gentleman that I really love. And he looked at
Dutch Corner West. I love it.
He looked at black leadership in the in the U.S. and you can also take some of what he said to apply it here today. And I think if we focus on these things along with the roadmap that's laid out in our Constitution, he looks at self-looting and nihilistic leadership, which embodies meaninglessness, hopelessness, and lovelessness, he says. It has the lack of authentic anger. Do you remember Mr. Edmund Moxie and some of those old leaders? They were angry about the social, economic circumstance in which Bahamians found themselves, insofar as that we weren't woven into the economic tapestry of this country. So they had an anger about that. And people say, why is he always upset? It was a good anger. And so that is what I would want to focus on today. The absence of genuine humility. And we have to focus on that in leadership because, and I do not forget, and I'm not a saint, and I'm far from being perfect, but humility, you come into this to serve. You're the chief of the servants, and the situation must be urgent. So I'm looking, self-looting and nihilistic leadership and how they're doing would be fine. And I will address, sometimes our leadership, and that's whether it be in party politics, both sides, or how we make a determination you spoke about, whether or not we will call an election, is it in the good interest of the country? Do we think that first? Absolutely not. There's a hunger for status, yes, in leadership, rather than a hunger to create hope. We are too eager for acceptance to be bold, and too invested in advancement to be defiant. And so in contextualizing where the political situation, I want to keep those things in the back of our mind, whether or not we have those things. Yes, I've considered this whole issue of my party, where we are. I must say that I am committed to the Free National Movement.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are extremely confidential, and I think that the party wouldn't, I had to say to some members the other night that we are a policy-making institution. Even though there are those that would say the opposition, that those other guys are in power and they're the government, they're not the government. That's not how the Constitution intends it. The Constitution envisions and intends and mandates that you have an opposition and a leading party. And that is government. And you don't argue whether it's the PLP in opposition or the FNM in opposition, did you not apart? You're not a part of government. Yes, you are. They say that the majority will have their way and the minority will have their say. Well, you'd better have a vigorous, honest and brutal saying the direction in which this country is going. And so I spoke about this whole thing of confidentiality, what we do as a policymaking organization. We're supposed to be able to facilitate our discussions honestly and not worry about leakage. And so coming back to my party, I have, and I'll be very honest, I have submitted my nomination forms for the chairmanship of the Free National Movement.
Hold on, where's the claps? Somebody give me some claps. All right, this is exciting, my brother. Congratulations. I wish you all the absolute best.
And let me say this. My move for chairmanship of the party will be civil. It will be fair. It will respect the process. But most importantly, it will respect the persons who are a part of that process. And I know that we have a sitting chairman whom I admire and I respect. And I'll say this, and he knows it. If there is an ailment in my family, I can call him, and on the first ring, he will answer. That level of relationship that we have. And that's the level of respect that we have for each other. And when you're doing the business of the country, of course, it will get vigorous. But some of the things, and that's why I outlined some of the things that Professor Cornel West suggested in terms of leadership when it's committed to building this country, what we ought to be about. And so I am running. Yes, we have decided as a party that the whole issue of leadership has to be determined. I am of the view that you must deal with the situation openly and honestly, but in a way that protects the fundamental dignity of an organization that is constitutional. This ain't your private business. This is a mandate, and if you can't do it, step aside and let someone else do it, because if you don't have a fully functional, vibrant opposition that understands its power, the limits of its power, and prepared to do it, you have a defect in government. And so that is where we are. And I'm committed to the leadership of the party. And so that's what I'm doing.
I am excited to talk with you about this from the book that you're reading, right? Black, what's it called? Black Matters?
No, Race Matters.
Race Matters, sorry. Yeah. Oh. By Dr. Cornel West, as you highlight one thing, an authentic, write that down, right? Which is a very clear indication that there is a generic anger, that there is an anger that is pliable, that continues to be able to shift with every moment, not necessarily rooted in a concept of growth and development. As we talk about this, I want to be able to just take that note,
yes,
to talk about the contrast between the generations, politically, socially, and otherwise, that there has been an authentic position of identity in yesteryear, but as a result of commercialism, as a result of being able to move with every way and wind and whim, there has been a shift. And there is an anger that people can articulate, maybe because of education, maybe because of whatever these things is. I want to take the conversation here to talk with you about leadership from the perspective of being able to identify how do we empower, not regurgitate, not provide an opportunity for a rhythm, for you to be able to give me the read and write and arithmetic, but how do we empower with the critical thinking from this leadership standpoint to get back to this authentic anger tomorrow? Guys, I want to be able to take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back with none other than Ellsworth Johnson right after this.
Foundation. Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world. Chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying for him out. Ain't be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a
mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, here sitting with none other than Ellsworth Johnson. Just being able to talk about some things. If you're just tuning in, we get some revelations to say that he has formally put his information in and vying for the position as chairman of the organization, the Free National Movement. And we will watch those particular things play out. We encourage him. Now, I'm sure that we can have some other persons, and I will encourage them also. But you hear me already then tell you, right? I believe that for what's happening in the organization, for this camaraderie, for the building of community again, and bringing people in, I think you are an excellent choice, my brother. I say
thank
that.
Thank you very much.
I believe that you will be an excellent choice in that particular stead. So I'm hoping that persons will consider you come June 1st. Now, I want to talk about this. Now, when we left off, you started to talk about this authentic anger, right? And I just wanted to be able to give contrast. We started to talk about it just a pinch on the break. But I want to let persons into this conversation. And I started to talk to you about this kind of an idea, this idea of the authentic anger from the traditional men of yesteryear who came from community, who understood their path, their course, it was drilled into their minds, hearts, and spirits on a day-to-day basis that your responsibility is to be a part of the growth and development of this community. And not your geographical location, but your existence, your culture, your people, your family, the space that we're in. Help us to move up and out of this, and you can do it. Go to school, educate yourself. This was the authentic anger. The anger that understood the segregation that exists, the anger that understood that superficiality pushed us out and never gave us an opportunity. With the introduction of things like cocaine, right? With the introduction of instant gratification and being able to get mine, with this kind of an idea of being able to get to the goal as quick as possible and not go through the endurance and building, we've lost that. We've lost this and grab hold of this sort of a generic concept that, my God, the bill's too high. Forget about economic inflation. The bill's too high. This is too high. You look for a target to go on, and then your anger shapeshifts and move from one thing or another, so it's not authentic anymore. I want to talk to you about that because this exists within the Free National Movement, within the PLP, within the country at large, and I want to know whether or not the next dispensation of leadership is looking to educate and empower youth to get back to the authenticity of why we were truly angry in the first place. And this is good anger like you spoke of. This is not the negative anger that seeks to be able to snuff someone out into the streets. This is the good, authentic anger that causes you to be able to rally in Rawson Square, that finds camaraderie, that causes you to be able to build organizations and push forward for liberty. Talk to me about what we can expect with this reintroduction of authentic anger, and what can you expect in terms of steps within the organization for this next dispensation of leadership?
And we talk about this, and I'm happy that I can have this conversation with you today, Mr. Grant. While we look at party politics, we're taking it from, we're going above that in terms of what we want to see in our country. That authentic anger came from, in terms of contextualizing the Bahamas, came from a realization from whence we came or where we were. No schools in the family island, but there were those who had it. Hardly any food, you ate the flour pop. Coming off of slavery and how people were treated, having a tourism industry and you could not participate. Persons living the dreams and aspirations of what their parents told them that they could have and willing to transcend that to the forward-going generation. That angle was that I respect humanity enough that even if I don't know your last name, a lady should not be treated this way. Yes? I respect humanity so much in the person that you are, whether you're black or you're white. A man should not have to work under these conditions. Mm-hmm. And so they look at health care. Mm-hmm. They demanded, and I'm bringing it up now, they demanded you have proper schools in the family islands, and mm-hmm. they even dared to get together and bill it.
Mm-hmm.
They demanded that there be health care and mm-hmm. dentists in the family islands. And so these are the things they were pushing for financial inclusion, yes? When Sir Cecil, and I'm not being political now, was the Minister of Education, to have persons who never thought that they would have that opportunity for the government to, and the people, not say because we get it mixed up, for the people, the taxpayers, to invest in individuals to send them to the University of the West Indies or sell them flower flung because we want to build our intelligentsia. While persons or your grandparents who may not be able to, who did not speak English so well, another part of the anger, but they had the wisdom, the care, and the understanding to desire these things for us. And so as you see that anger, you would have heard, you heard persons speaking, but no, the school isn't good. Not because my child may be in a private school. I want a good education for everybody. I want everybody as best they can, not to be rich, but to, for their human dignity to be respected. But you don't see that anymore. There's much more, how do I get in? How do I get this contract? How do I get for me, mine, and then we add the sweetheart and all those things in it. But that authentic anger is missing in leadership. And so a state of hopelessness, and it's not that people, we have lost it. You said you had the ambassador, Devon Roll, and he mm-hmm. spoke about it because he heard about it. He, for his age, he probably lived a part of it, right? And so as you see us develop as a community, you see where we've lost it. And so there's a lack of trust. People know when you love them, you know. People know when you care for them. You meet somebody, and we do it all the time. We profile people, and we say, something about that individual just ain't right. Are they really honest about what they're telling me that they will do? So by and large, for both, I'm not saying just two political, for all politicians who come ahead and say that, there's a level of distrust. Because whether persons realize it or not, they don't see the genuine love that I should have food for my children or education for my children. They don't see that care, and they don't see that imbuing of hope in persons. And so when we look at this and its context, and you bring it to the, and you bring it to the FNM, what brought the FNM forward? What brought the Progressive Liberal Party forward in terms of majority rule, and how we have strayed so much from that?
Authenticity.
Yes.
A genuine anger, a yes. pushback that made a determination. Both organizations mm-hmm. was formed from an authentic anger mm-hmm. for liberty and an access to be able to see freedom for our children, for and the next generation.
Absolutely.
Both organizations absolutely. Were formed for that. There is social tussle and a significant pushback that actually speaks to the fact right now, today, that speaks to the fact with clarity that there is a social indifference. They don't know whether or not they should choose one leader over the other in the Free National Movement. And I ask the question as to why do you believe this is? Why do you believe that, only based upon your analogy and your breakdown, are persons looking into the organization and saying they don't necessarily feel the authenticity coming from the organization at this time, not a specific person, but the organization at this time, that we truly believe that you were the party of 50 years ago, that the freedom fighters who fought for an idea to be able to stay steadfast and move the country in a particular direction, that you've lost this sort of an idea, how do you get it back? Do you believe that people can discern that there is this sort of generic anger coming from the organization at this particular time, and they're indifferent with being able to engage you?
In terms of the Free National
Movement? In terms of the Free National Movement.
It has the Free National Movement has a very rich history, let me say that, when you look at the reasons for its formulation, the dissident aid being led by Sir Cecil. And there, might I dare say it was more than just a dissident aid, because you had, we sometimes don't want to accept it or make mention of it, but you had a group of men from the UBP who also joined, right? When, and they formulated the government. And so you saw things coming in where the person who had that authentic anger for liberalization, education, healthcare, and successful got these persons together. And then you saw the freeing up of the airwaves. You had Mr. Ingram joining, and he was really the catalyst for the 80s in terms of dealing with the whole question of the drug era. And then employment issues, bringing up to the public procurement that you now see them, they're trying to rescind. Generally, for both parties, including my party, the party that I love, people are distrusting. And when they look at a party, they would want to see a party that is they can trust, that is honest, and that really has their interests at heart. And the reason why I try and bring it back to everyday life, the man on the street looks out over the hill and says, I saw a book by Mr. Colin Archer. It was written in the 80s or 90s, about alcoholism over the hill. And everybody's talking about the volume of liquor stores on this 21/7, the volume of number stores on this 21/7, put so many people who are losing their mortgages. And when you talk, see, because sometimes when we talk politics, we go way up in the air, not realizing that at the end of the day, politics is how you share the country's limited resources. You create that environment for people to live, for people to get health care. And people want to be able to, when they look at the hospital where a young man just lost his life, or my good friend, Mr. Josie, lost his life, when you go into the hospital, you can get those services. In the back of your mind, people are saying, as hard as the people work, I'm not sure if I go and I will come. And that highly educated young Bahamians that we paid thousands of dollars for are now taking flight and leaving the country for a better way of life to provide that service to another community. These are the things that Bahamians are talking about every day. How do you not make it a heaven, but how do you make it much more fairer for me? So if somebody's coming and they don't have a resolution to these things, the hike in taxes, persons are unable to pay their light bill. How do you create an environment where you tie them into the grid and they're able to give back? All of these things that would cause them, because people are so caught up in trying to make it, when you come as a leader, they look to say, hey, they test you, you know. And they sit and they look. Even though you have the country's very entrenched, they test you. How do we get these things? And then the political tyranny between both parties. Think about this, the state of hopelessness, and what some of our leaders were trying to tell us. There are sectors all over this country. You look at Bay Street. It's control, and I'm going to say it. I'm not being disrespectful. And if they want to do it, you know, we're in a capitalist society. So many Bahamians have lost their businesses, and you see the Indians on Bay Street. You see our brothers and sisters of another hue, the Chinese over the hill. We don't have our tailor shops anymore. How do we train our young men so that they populating Fox Hill? And the largest business being the magistrate's court, when you look at the per capita.
That's where this is a deep conversation.
They're involved in the business and the development of this country. How do we, at this stage, when we are strategically placed between North America, South America, Latin America, Europe, and Africa, we haven't had the audacity to pass proper legislation so the Bahamians who have land could realize their ownership and teach them about how do we maintain it and have these type of conversations and not be afraid to have them, but have them in the context that where you would say to your leader, I respect you and I love you. And this is what Cornel West spoke about. And this is what some of our leaders were, that if you cannot appreciate what I am saying, I don't have to be a part of your organization. You don't have to select me. Because when I came as a whole, right? And I know that God would be able to protect me and mine's. So how does that leadership deal with these things? How does the leadership deal with the boat? As simple as the boat is getting it to and from the island. So when we so they would want to see a Free National Movement party, or as they laugh at the Progressive Liberal Party as they travel around the world and spend all the money. The Fiscal Responsibility Act is too rigid. I can't give you a report on your assets as you voted for. Or the Public Procurement Act that allows everybody to participate in the contracts. I can't do that no more because I want my man to get it. How do we create an environment where, as best we can, we're not creating heaven? Because these are the conversations that people are having privately, but they're having them in a context where they hope that leadership wouldn't find out and hurt them.
Now, I will do this, Ellsworth, and then I got to go to a break, and I can give persons an opportunity to be able to chime in. Having a conversation with my good friend Ethric Bowe this morning, as he and I just stretched out about the possibilities of what leadership should look like, and I just kind of, you know, opined about my position of how members of parliament continuously and relentlessly depend on central government to provide them opportunities. And then I started to talk to him about, I believe that innovation and ingenuity should come from members within the confines of their constituency, not relentlessly sitting around waiting for cabinet ministers to kind of say this and say that and say the other thing. And then I started to talk to him about a concept that I had for West Grand Bahama that spoke about the empowerment and credit unions and persons coming in that particular space and the community being able to be self-sufficient. And this is where we could find liberalization and persons not necessarily. So me and him just talking, all right? He said, "Now, Howard, listen to me. I don't hear no damn foolishness out of you. Mm-hmm. Get up and go to West Grand Bahama and do it now."
And let me say that. This is the anger that they had. They realized that they may not have seen it in their lifetime. And you hear the old guy say it. But you will live long enough to see what I was saying is true. And that one of these little children, I would see them, they said, one of these little children we're talking to now will grasp the concept because they understood where they were in terms of the race. That long time ago, and you heard them talking about their fathers, and when their fathers said they would know that this would happen, that you would pass it on. And that's that concept is about successorship. That's the type of anger that we don't have, that around us, we don't see leaders. We see ourselves and our children.
Now watch me. The anger, whether authentic, generic, indifferent, the anger that is presented to us as members of parliament or potential members of parliament, candidates have been identified in certain constituencies, they walk about and speak to us and come into our homes and our cities and they present their platform. Mm-hmm. They give us the talking points. They roll out this sort of an idea of what you can expect when I move towards leadership. They never execute. Mm-hmm. They get right back to self-serving.
State of hopelessness.
They get right back to this this conversation and this position that you actually spoke about, this self-loathing and annihilation. Mm-hmm. This is what you're talking about, right? They get right back to those things because this is what they learned. This is what they know. Specifically about why the liquor stores exist and why the number houses exist. Because this is the self-medication and the grasp that we have on the hope for ourselves. How can you, in your capacity, the trifecta potentially of leadership in the Free National Movement, then eventually finding yourself in the position of leadership in the country, how can we change this? Because you're articulate. Mm-hmm. You can be able to dive deep into this. And it existed almost 30 years That's with right. this book in your hand mm-hmm. and even further mm-hmm. to talk about these issues. Now it's time, just like Ethric say, I don't want to hear no damn foolishness. And you got to right. get on the ground right. and let some things happen. Guys, I got to take this commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Bank the way you want.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Lock, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road, 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train to help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of purpose and a sense of patriotism.
To learn more and apply, visit nyg.bahamas.gov.bs.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Here sitting with none other than Ellsworth Johnson, getting very philosophical in these particular instances, being able to talk about Dr. Cornell's West book, Racism Matters and so forth and so on, talking about these things and the posture and position that exists in these areas, breaking it down. Talking about self-loathing annihilation that comes from our politicians and the leaders of our countries, that the authentic anger that has left us, the humility that has left us, the hunger for status that has been replaced with it, the eager approach for acceptance that has been replaced with, we have become shells of our former selves in many instances as we hear of the stories of old. Ellsworth Johnson has joined me today in being able to talk about these things and talk about the authenticity of an expectation from leadership. Now, I want to pull this home because I think we can be able to remain and meander in the vast wilderness of, political implications in the country. But I think I want to be able to bring it home.
Okay.
As we look at the leadership of the Free National Movement, with the leadership of where we are in the country right now with the New Day administration and Brave Davis,
there is something still we're left wanting with Brave Davis's capacity. Once he's, I think he's doing the best that he possibly can. I think that there are a lot of millennials, younger persons, and older persons alike that are looking for, that are looking at economic inflation, that are looking at geopolitics, that are looking at the lack of a convicted position that we have. Now, we speak of Singapore. We speak of Mia Motley in Barbados. We speak of all manner of persons that are doing well from a global perspective, but we lack the conviction to make a decision here locally. Now, as you speak, I'm listening to you. As you speak, you are identifying symptoms, but I don't think leadership has identified the core issue. I often give a contrast on this show between leaders of yesteryear, if we want to call them the Pinland era. I often give a contrast that they were the architects of the country. They were responsible for building the tangible, the buildings that we never had, the banks that we never had, the spaces that we never had. These were the men and women that poured into the building of the country. 50 years neglected on building men. We have neglected of being able to pour into the next generation with our time and talent and say to them, this is an expectation of what you should do in your community as time comes. So the next dispensation of leaders should not be the architects of our community externally, but the architects and chief architects of being able to build the young man. Are you saying to me in your capacity, as you vie for the position of chairman of the organization of the Free National Movement, that we can expect a concentrated effort to identify the empowerment of our young people, not necessarily within only within the confines of your organization, but within the confines of the communities stretching far and wide here in the country? Talk to me about it.
Thank you very much. First, again, we have an hour in. I just want to say that I do not speak on behalf of the Free National Movement. And I'm here in my private capacity. Yes, in terms of the leadership, that genuine anger, you're right. We saw in where we are now, we're still living on the tourism design that, whether white or black, destroying buildings, maybe not creating new buildings, that whole passion and desire for education for all, we've lost it. And the movement for good labor relations or good labor laws has slowed down, when in fact it was the labor movement that created what we, basically what we have. Local government, a good transportation system. And I'm just saying this. I say this in the context that I understand that I may vie for chairmanship. I may not be successful, but mm-hmm. I'm still committed. One of the most beautiful things in this country is that we may vie to be the government of the Bahamas, or you may run in a constituency and you may not be successful,
mm-hmm.
but the country goes on and you yet still participate to see the development of the people. And so you're quite right. We've fallen down. What both parties have the opportunity to do, and we've lost it. At one point, you used to have debates over the hill. Think about this. Each party has...
Was this the University of Wilford?
Yes. Each party has constituency associations all around the Bahamas in terms of being policy-making organizations to develop the people. You have an opportunity to bring persons in there and have genuine discussions on issues that affect us. But we've become politically tribalistic in our approach. And remember what I tell you, who's on Bay Street? I want us to keep it on the ground. Who's over the hill in the liquor stores? And we allowed it. Where we are, we can blame absolutely
the
nobody.
Allowed it.
The gatekeepers have allowed it. And we've become worst in what Frederick Douglass has... He didn't term it. He said when he was a boy, they sent him to a nigger breaker. A nigger breaker was a person that when you were out of line... He was the expert. If nobody could bring you in line, this is the person that would bring you in line. And some of our organizations have become Western institutions of what Frederick Douglass described that he experienced. But we have a greater calling in our community to do just that. I think I'm going to vie, and I want to say this, and I said it to Dr. Minnis. I have said it to Mr. Michael Pintard, and I've said it to Mr. Ingram. My support is not blind loyalty. And leadership requires that you...
You said it on the show before, too.
Yes. Leadership requires that you're not so blind in your loyalty that you allow someone to become what is totally opposed to what we have in our structure, right? And that if you don't want me, you don't have to have me. That does very little to me. I still have a family. I still have those people in Dowdsket Island, my mother. And those things, I have my church and my wife and my children. So much more valuable.
You put your wife last. You can get problems. Go.
And my wife. Most important to me.
Okay. You did well. I like your recovery.
Yeah, that's it. I'm talking about the group. Most important. And so the difficulty that we have when persons come in and when we select people that are malleable. We may not always get all that we want, you know. And I heard the good brother who called earlier talking about, and yes, Ettrick Bo is right. Mr. Ettrick Bo, he's not Ettrick Bo to me. That he's telling you to get on the ground, to do it, Howard. You may not be successful, but you are obligated to do it because in terms of our developmental process, this is what we want. And so what I'm challenging Bahamians, even though I would want to see the Free National Movement be the next government, as we come around, it's more than just saying why they have the doubts. It's because they don't see much when we come. You know how long we've had the bill for land reform? We went right up to the door under the last administration for local government in New Providence. That's mm-hmm. why they could put so much liquor stores in your community, because you are not responsible for where they go. Mm-hmm. I'm quite certain where you live, if you had a local community council who determines the licensing process, you will determine where they go, but it's all about power. So it is not about the property development of the country. And so we have to help people to ensure that these persons who have come ahead to lead the country are really genuine.
Do you believe that leadership, the identified persons who are vying for the position, right, whether pronounced or unpronounced just yet, moving towards a position of leadership in the Free National Movement are open enough? Let's be decent, because you've already, hypothetically, let's just say that Minnis has decided to put his name in the race and vying for this position. We don't know. You've already served in the Minnis administration. You've already been exposed to who he is, what he's done, his antics, so forth and so on. You've heard the chatter on the street, but you have this convicted position that it's time for us to be able to empower ourselves, empower this organization, empower the Bahamian people. We need to be able to have participatory government on all levels.
Absolutely.
So this is your conviction. This is your position. Do you believe that leadership, no matter who that is open enough to be able to give at least a leeway to forming this for the country going forward?
And that is why we have to push. Let's be real about leadership. Sometimes loyalty is sometimes more appreciated and desired than efficiency or qualification. So
you say you come here in the capacity of Elwes Johnson. Yes. John, politically correct.
Yes. No, I'm saying
what you would like to say. Let me fix it.
Yeah.
Sometimes leadership identify yes men to put in position rather than empowered persons to ensure that they speak with authenticity for growth.
A different way of saying it. When you say about the right persons coming ahead, you have to take that into context. That's what people may sometimes want. But the question is, how do you get persons who are committed to the development of the country involved in the entire process? Yes, I've seen, let me just speak to Dr. Minnis. I've seen his leadership. I know Michael Pintard's leadership. Everything that is said about Dr. Minnis or said about Michael Pintard is not the truth. And sometimes we become so politically tribalistic. I saw something about Darren Henfield on yesterday that was published. A most nasty, derogatory piece of publication about a man who, in my estimation, is a man of great integrity and high
and
moral
humility.
Standing. And humility.
That's what I know him to be.
That's what I know him to be. Okay. But to see what was thrown out there about him. And so, yes. So we've had the whole thing with Dorian. We've had the whole thing with COVID-19. We've had a lot of different progressive things done under Dr. Minnis, which and the successes that we got, party, to the extent that there were failures, we have to share those failures. But because you were in leadership, you take responsibility in those with you, share in some of those difficulties. We have a Michael Pintard now who's leader of the party, and he's been duly elected in that position. So we support him, and we support him as we go into the elections to decide on a leader for the party. And we trust that God will determine the right person who is in the best interest of first of the Bahamas and the party. And so in terms of where we are in selecting the right people to do what we need, that's where the populace comes into play. They must demand more. But
the populace is being told, stay out of F&M business.
But listen to this. I start off by saying the F&M is a constitutional construct.
Yes.
This is not your private affair.
Mm-hmm.
You're running the country. You're part of the leadership of this country. And so in doing that, you don't run it like a tuck shop or a candy shop. You run it as if you run it knowing that you're responsible for a multi-billion dollar economy. You're responsible for education, healthcare, and all those things that affect the normal everyday life of Bahamian people. And you have to bring that, and you must imbue in all of your membership that they're a part of the organization that have to do that. I think sometimes in politics, it becomes just about the contract, about who will get the posting, about who will get a ministerial posting. But that's not about, you would want the right persons, but that's not really about governance. And so in terms of, as we move ahead, in terms of the party, we must get all of our constituency associations together, fully functional. We must show the Bahamian people that we have a policy statement that falls in lines with our constitution and is in the best interest of all these things that affect the everyday life of Bahamian people. We must show that we are not going to be about gallivanting and spending all the monies traveling or on ourselves to see how we can get new cars, how we can send our children away. But most importantly, that when we come, we don't see governance as an opportunity for self-aggrandizement, whether it be status, whether it be money, and whether it be things. And so, but the Bahamian people must look carefully and make that decision that is in the best interest of the country. And I have to admit, in terms of my support, there may be somebody else who may say different.
Yeah.
But we are at the point now where I've said to my leader, you have to lance this boil. We have to deal with the whole
issue. You're ready for me to have that kind of a conversation with you.
We can.
Now, you're ready for me to say that. Your position as the Free National Movement, and you know my affiliation with the organization
yes,
in
I
the
do.
Past, and yeah. you know that, but now elevated in this position, especially with me digging deep into the country, I can be able to say with clarity that the PLP was good for the country at a time.
I can say with clarity
that if we isolated and separated into seasons and dispensations and eras, that the PLP is better for certain eras of this country. I could say that it had to been a godsend to have the mindset and the introduction of what was happening with the move globally to have the type of leadership of the person of Hubert Alexander Ingram in the position in the 90s
You're
to
right.
be able to lead us through it's the 90s.
And the 80s, don't forget that.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. It is an amazing thing, that introduction at that particular time. I could say that the fresh wind with the expectation of what should happen after Y2K in 2002 took us back with the PLP. I could say these things, but I'm not going to say very blandly and boldly, especially in the interest of the fact that the entire country is looking for a real sense of unity. And I think that that's what the country is looking for. The country is not looking for Hubert Ingram's F&M, but looking for the united, energized, fired up organization of the 90s that can be able to push the things forward. That was clearly participatory industry. They're looking for the return of that. And no matter who the leader is, they're looking for the type of candidates in various constituencies that actually has the pizzazz and has the wherewithal, the articulation, the insight, and that common touch to change the country.
Absolutely. And that would dare not dare, they'll have that audacity in the face of what is blatantly apparent to go out and say, listen, to turn up, to demonstrate, to have these discussions and demand that we want more. An audacity that is confrontational, not violent, but confrontation in terms of the advancement of this country. An audacity that is confrontation in terms of when I put it on paper, when I put it on paper in terms of what I would be determined to do, you look at the history, look at the present, and where we are prepared to go. An audacity that is so powerful that when people hear you speak, they say that's not a bullshitter.
That audacity, that audacity that exists in this particular space, right? That audacity existed for many persons in 2017. That audacity was articulated in your branding for the Free National Movement in 2017 with a leader that was not a lawyer, with a leader that was a doctor. That is time for the country because the country is sick. That it's time for the country to be able to move in a particular manner. Now, let's be very clear. That did not happen in retrospect. As we look back, this was a lot of the same. And so I open up the lines, ladies and gentlemen, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796 on the text. The lines are wide open. The fact of the matter is this is where we get back to. You're standing on something strong. You start off here hitting me with the philosophical, you're transitioning and segueing into the actual, you're talking about the intangibles and being able to build these things, and then you hit me up with the aspirations to move towards chairman position, and I'm saying to you, we have seen many a man come sit on our settee, sit in and stand behind podiums, hit us on these things, many a man talk with these kind of great ideas, and never make significant steps or any inroad and indentation into the space of what they pictured in their mind, the vision that they cast in our mind. How do we know whether that is Ellsworth Johnson or the trifecta of leadership in the Free National Movement? How do we know that you are going to mean what you say and say what you mean?
Well, I'm not, based on my past, and I've given you my history before from where I hail.
Yes.
From a rural community, Dowd, Island. I was born through Exuma Street. Had my challenges in school. My father took me to Harris Monica. We were able to surmount that. Went back, became a police officer at Joyner, worked on the docks, and became an attorney by taking loans and still continuing to study. I've joined with the Free National Movement. I've been a part of it for the longest. I do recall, and my attitude toward country and the way it's built is because of my personal experience. I've been taught about the Night of the Long Knives, about where our people came from, where we are, and my obligation to carry that baton and pass it along. And now I find myself in the party where I'm able to say without fear of contradiction that I came for a purpose. That may not always be what you like to hear, but my commitment to your leadership is not blind, but hear what I have to say on these issues and to say them in a way that I respect the organization, the constitutionality of the organization, the confidentiality of the organization. I say that to both. Three, on occasions I have discussions with Mr. Ingram, Mr. Dr. Minnis, and the present leader to say to my leader, listen, my support for you is not blind loyalty. I will have discussion. You don't choose my friends. But this is what I think about X, Y, or Z. Now, I think any member of the party who comes out, I remember what I said, this is not a talk shop that you do as you like. This is about running the Bahamian, the country. That I may have to some things that we may say, but that's not for me to come here and try to clarify it on a show or on the streets, because that's the governance of the country. And that's the level of maturity that we have to show. Now, there are some significant things as we have these discussions that affects leadership. And one of those is the political tribalism, that you become so politically entrenched to your party that you can't speak to education, that you can't say to somebody, I think you should resign, that you can't say to your leader, this is where I think we should go.
Are you buoyant enough to be able to give that kind of an authentic approach? Are you buoyant? Is your head above the political fray and not steeping into the malarkey of the politics within the FNM? Are you buoyant enough and your head is above the fray that you could see, okay, hey guys, we need to move in this direction? And if you are, is this going to be the state, the stead of your potential leadership if you become the chairman of the organization?
Not only am I buoyant enough, or anybody who wants to take that position or the position in leadership, not only must they be buoyant enough. And I said this to you on another occasion. There was a time when I wanted to resign, and there was a time that I spoke to Ms. Glenna Hannah
Martin.
You told
me this, yes.
And she says, man, you got to put on your... She said, you think everything these guys do I support? I vehemently object to it, but we're not dealing business. We have to do certain things. I do recall at one point that I said something in the public, and I told you it was about Dr. Minnis. I got a text from the chairman of the Progressive Labour Party. He says, are you in the prime minister? Are you on talking terms? I said, yes. He said, well, if you're on talking terms, you're in the cabinet. There's confidentiality. Why aren't you talking to him? Why are you in the public doing this? This is not your business to do as you like. I am buoyant enough to have open, honest, and forceful conversations with anybody, but understanding that this is the business of the country. And when I draw it, I like to bring it down to real life situation. We see it every day. We see it to the young man, the young woman who goes to the prison and know that there's not sufficient personnel, but they do what they have to do and they observe confidentiality. You see it with the police officers, you see it with the teachers, but they go every day and they do what they have to do. And in the context of being militant, they let you know, but there's certain things they can't. So I'm saying to you, yes, we have a lot of work to do as a party. Yes, we have a lot of work to do in our constituency association. We have a lot of work to do in selecting proper persons who are in the best interests of this country. We have a lot of work to do until June 1st in selecting the leader that we think would be in the best interest of this country. But I am not...
You've got even more work to do after June 1st.
Absolutely. Yes, you're quite correct. Because it's a continue. I am disciplined enough not to be that selfish to come and speak to things that I know. This is some of the things that affect the party. We always say, how did this get out? How did we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you want a group who will be selected, who understands their role,
mm-hmm.
who will speak publicly to certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted the stage, and this you wanted the stage of the party that when we sit to discuss our policy position in terms of leading the country, that we don't skirt certain things that are hurting the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't skirt the issue of high electricity bill. That you can go in the food store, and I work, my wife work, and you can't hardly pay the price for what is there. That there's still a need, a desperate need for local government. That still we can't be silent on the issue.
Well, I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you more specifically about those legislations, those ideas, those concepts that came to the forefront, but you got to let me take the telephone call.
Okay.
Caller on the line with us live, go ahead. Go ahead, caller, thank you so much for holding. 323-622-3232-54316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Guys, you can be able to give us a call. Is the caller on the line? Caller on the line with us live? Go ahead.
Howard, good afternoon. Anderson, I got to say good afternoon to you and your guest. He's 100% correct.
Good afternoon.
The problem is we haven't found those people yet. You see, it was one party that put 7% plus on my food. Another party took it to 12%. Another party took it back down to 10%, but now it's on breadbasket. It's all fun and games except for the poor. We're now playing more games with their electricity. We've been saying 2030 for renewable from I was able to remember. We should have set the goal to 150% solar and other forms of renewable, you might have achieved 80%. When you set it at 30, you're not even going to get 10%. And with LNG, we could have floated two barges in here, giving us 600 megawatt each, and you would have had the fuel, you would have had the expertise, you would have had the maintenance, everything, for pennies on the kilowatt compared to what we're paying now, and it could have been implemented in months. John Boswick Jr. spoke to this at the Chamber of Commerce along with myself with solar. I believe it was 2014. And so the people, you're looking for the good people. The good people don't want the ridicule. They don't want to have the foolishness associated with politics. And some of us are wondering why we even speak to it any longer. But you must remember, Howard, and I'll wrap up on this. Failing to participate in politics means you will be ruled by your inferiors. And it is about time we fix the Bahamas, because like I told you, I reject it for you, Howard, the things that are about to come, like the hyperinflation. Can you believe there's not one American or Canadian that could pay $6 US for a gallon of gas? Wow. So when you're ready, Howard, please give your guest my number. Y'all have a great day.
Okay, my brother. Thank you so kindly.
Oh,
I would appreciate you. Go ahead.
I disagree with Graham on this. Mm-hmm. We have found the people, because insofar as he can call and he can articulate what he says on the ground, this is why governments change every 5 years. And Graham is right. You can ill afford to live in a country and not participate. And so he's one of those persons. We may not always agree with what he says, but the level of conversation that we are having here today, leadership is not the person who you see in the House, you know, because at the end of the day, a group of persons get them and send them there. Leadership, proper leadership, is everybody in the community participating and hearing their views. And as abrasive as they may be, we have to encourage it, because if you don't, what happens is what you may have now is an autocratic way of doing things where you see the media is being disemboweled. If I don't like you, I have some political retribution for you. And the only way that this is able to, you're able to stop this, and it's cliche now, there's this gentleman who says when Hitler came around for the unions, or he was quiet until they came for him. And so everybody knows where you are, no matter your social standing in this country. Yeah, you're living off this country, and so you're obligated to participate. That is the type of anger that our forefathers, and even those who live now, insofar as you're having the show, demanded of everybody that we must participate. And we participate in a crowd. You can't have one man doing as he likes or one woman doing as she likes.
Let me take the next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes. Good day, Howard.
Hey, good day.
And good day to your guest.
Yes, good day.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I could remember sitting before you when you were at the Legal Aid Clinic.
Yes, I spent time there.
Right? And I was very impressed when I listened to you challenge the late Bradley Roberts on the radio, and I am very proud of your position in politics now. I would agree with y'all, with the society having its position and taking its stake in reference to leadership. You see, Mr. Johnson, what we have here now is this administration is hijacking what the Bahamian people own with BPL and dividing it up. And I was just listening to the discussion in Parliament where they're saying that they are splitting it up. They did not bring a bill to Parliament that the opposition was given a copy of. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, but basically, they're doing as they like without recourse to the people, right? And there were those who said in the Ingram administration it happened with BTC. This crew, as I've said about a particular member, they have, and there are exceptions, I must say there are exceptions, but when you look at their policy, they have no respect for man, woman, boy, or beast in terms of some of the things that they do. Who takes off in a plane and go to another country without prior permission while spending the people's money when women can't afford the normal items that they need for their everyday life? Who does that in terms of BPL and BTC and the high light bill that we're now experiencing? Who takes a policy position that affects all this? We want in the Bahamas to reinvent or transform our power grid or electricity supply that is lower for all. Whoever does that, we're grateful for that. While respecting the Bahamian people, you don't just kick IRCA, institution.
The regulatory body.
The regular body out of it. And that is what they've been doing with almost everything. And saying they think that there is a problem, they will let you know. If you look at education, not education, you look at healthcare, you look at the fiscal irresponsibility of these guys, they just do as they like, and if you don't like it, that's it. And then they're led by a chairman who attacks you brutally, insults you, and say all manner of evil things against you when you stand up and say something that is credible. Mind it may not always be politically acceptable when you're trying your best to lead and someone comes with an objection that really knocks you off course. If it's right, you have to accept it. But it's too much is too much. But in the context of what you're saying, the Bahamian people want to see an opposition that is viable, that creates hope in them. And we have to do that by our policies and by our leadership.
I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. I want to ask two questions. Let me take this commercial break. Guys, quick commercial break. I see your telephone lines. Please don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this.
The foundation.
Get ready for another exciting Fish Fry Friday, May 3rd at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Kicking off the month of May, celebrating Nurses Month. Night Nurse. From 6:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., featuring the Big Band Visage and DJ Beats. We salute all the nurses as we celebrate Nurses Month at Fish Fry Friday.
My girl call and ask if I leave home. Well, I tell she are real close. Girl, I almost did.
Admission $25 general, $55 for the Bahamian buffet at Vacation Cafe and the party. All government workers get $5 off their entry with your work ID. You can win passes to dine at Vacation Cafe and passes to the water park. So make your plans to be at Fish Fry Friday. For the best in soca Bahamian and your favorite old cool jams. Fish Fry Friday, Macatown, Nassau, 12 Old Palm, May 3rd.
Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. There's scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com. Where printing is an art.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress. A world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flower, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Home's Mother's Day sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breeze's Grounds ignite with Bahamian talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242.
They know if you like whining.
Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Sylvie Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Ramis, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best Rake and Scrape Explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Wings are here. Popeyes now has wings in 5 flavors. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan. Marinated for 12 hours. Hand battered and breaded in a bold Louisiana seasoning. And they're only $7.25 for 6 wings. Taste them.
Crunchy outside.
And juicy inside.
Try the new wings from Popeyes now.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bon Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, the Foundation here, live and in full effect on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, having good conversation with none other than Ellsworth Johnson, who has formally put all the information in, and he's vying for the position of chairman in the Free National Movement come June 1st. We're excited. We support him in this particular capacity. And I don't know whether, you know, there's so many questions I have. Let me left off. I wanted to ask you this question. It's a two-part question. I asked you it just now. I'm going to ask you it here. Under the former administration with Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, right? There were significant commitments that were made to the Bahamian people about transformation. This is one of the things that made him look a little bit different than everyone else, right? Beyond the fact that he was a doctor, he was saying some things that we wanted to hear. He was saying some things that we believed that if we just pushed this couch aside, we could get that sand out of the room, something behind there. He was saying the things that I'm going to move this couch and make some things happen. He was saying that we're going to go to strengthen the freedom of information. We're going to go to 2 terms for prime minister. We're going to deal with campaign finance reform. We're going to be able to do those things. Beyond just saying it, he created a unit called the delivery unit, which we know was shaped and formed after what was happening in the UK. And it still didn't fall. It still wasn't executed the way that it should be, right? Beyond that particular standpoint, in identifying those things and pushing all those things forward, we see that. And the leadership of that time, including the chairman of the organization, was not strong enough. I just want to be decent as I say this. To be able to realign the soul of the organization. To say, okay, this is where we need to go, so forth and so on. I'm not going to fight him. I want to talk to you about that in the position of your leadership. Now, you've offered that, listen, it doesn't make a difference if you want me or you don't want me. I serve at your pleasure, but this is, I came to you whole. And as a whole man, this is where I stand with the information that I have. In the event that you are afforded the opportunity to be able to become chairman of the organization, do you see yourself as an element to ensure that you could keep this
delivery unit on course. This, the authentic soul of the organization aligned to find true growth and development and move you forward.
Yes, and you raise all this, my value proposition in being chairman of the party. But before, let me just say this. Dr. Minnis, and I must be fair to Dr. Minnis, experienced one of the most tragic times that I think in the history of our country. Dorian, the first ever, they've never seen it before, the pandemic, and in the circumstances because of the traumatizing effect of those two incidents in our history. Persons were able to say he shut down the country. Well, in fact, the world was shut down, and persons bought it. The Freedom of Information Act passed. As a matter of fact, we brought persons in from Jamaica, and the training was on the way. That's why I was so concerned when Minister Mitchell said it was not on their radar. Public service was trained, and it's a process. There was the integrity in terms of Parliament. We passed the new Parliamentary Act. I mean, that created the whole thing with registration, and then we had the Integrity Commission Bill that was laid. And but for cups, we didn't get that. The Public Procurement Act and the Fiscal Responsibility Act. And what mm-hmm. I like about that, I remember when there was a snap election, there were those who said, wow, we have to try and help some people. But you know, once an election is called, you can't enter into no new contracts. Mm-hmm. First time in the history of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. it was done. So there mm-hmm. were a lot of positive things.
I think a lot of people said mad with Minnis because of that.
Oh, my God, crazy.
They mad!
So there were a lot of things that were done in terms of feeding the entire country, and not one person complained that they, because of their political opinion, they did not get, right? So he did a lot in terms of his service. There were certain things that he did not do, and I'm not here to scold or berate him. Mr. Carl Kalmer did the best that he could do. I think we need to be careful when we come to the public. Yes, I've spoken about what an organization ought to do, but there's certain things I'm not prepared to discuss. I could tell him that or tell them how I feel to their face. In terms of the party, we saw when we were on occasions after 25 years of the Progressive Liberal Party governing this country, a well-oiled machine or FNM with all of the factions. Ms. Ingram said, we are party. Right? And so we are movement. And so the ability to get the factions together, to get the funding that we need, to attract the necessary talent, right? To attract the necessary
talent. That was the next question I had for you.
And the party needs to understand that the Bahamian people are looking for social solutions. You can't get that with yeser men or yeser women. You need persons with the strength of conviction to say to you, Mr. Leader, this is how it ought to go. Or this is what I suggest to you. And at the end of the day, if you don't want, bang. That's how you had the persons with this. That's what created the FNM. Persons with the strength of conviction to say, I'm not going to take this anymore. We are just out of majority rule and this is where we're going. But when we saw that we had persons with the strength of conviction after the 80s to say the drug trafficking movement through the Bahamas, the social welfare system was going under, our men and our boys were being destroyed because of drugs, and we needed a better way. We needed to look at labor. We needed to look at health care. We needed to look at education and infrastructure. These things, and we addressed those, not only, most importantly, as Mr. Ingram said, now that the airwaves are open, anybody could cuss me now, as long as you do it in the right context and you do not defame him. But having that ability to bring the different groupings together, to have that well-oiled machine, to go again, I know that we have it. I know that we possess it. I know that we possess the talent. But one of the things that we must appreciate, and I want all of those persons who are vying to run, that what we may arrive at before 2026, it may be that Ellsworth Johnson may not be the best person to run. Can I accept that? Am I selfish enough to say, in order to rescue this country from the damnation in which it finds itself, right? From the things, and I'm not going to dwell on it because we'll have a lot of opportunities.
No, I was about to tell you. I was about to tell you this. I can say this to you, right? And I can take two telephone calls and then, you know, we're going to be done because we had 7 minutes before we get out of here. But this conversation is not about the overarching position of the country, not just yet. this is an isolated conversation about, one, your aspirations and being able to step into a position of chairman, two, being able to create an environment to let persons know that this is where my mind, my heart is, and this is where I believe that we can move towards in leadership. And three, I suppose to all those council members and other delegates who are voting, hey, listen, would you support Ellsworth Johnson? That's what this conversation is about. Okay, good. Now, the next time we come, if you're sitting in the capacity of a victor and you're the chairman, now we get to contrast the F&M's position, what has been said under the leadership, current leadership, former leadership, former prime minister, so forth and so on, and the expectation of the F&M, and how you're going to be able to not only win in 2026, but be able to revive the concept and the idea of that fighting spirit and the authenticity of the anger that existed in the organization at the core, at its core and at the forefront. So this conversation here, this is only pity patter at the beginning and saying this is Ellsworth Johnson, potential chairman. But when we come back, we got to take the gloves off because we believe that the country is in a position that we need revival, restoration, realignment. And we don't know whether or not this administration, you know, you said something, and I'd like to be able to say that you like, you said something that, you know, popped in my mind. The administration is being led by social media, taking pictures, being able to show you this sort of an idea of what we're doing, as opposed to being able to be focused on governance. We need to know whether or not the Free National Movement, after it's all said and done, will be focused on governance. Let me take a telephone call. Call on the line, go ahead. Next caller, call on the line. Thanks so much for holding. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Brother Howard.
Hey, what's happening, my brother?
Brother Johnson, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think you guys, sorry, you gentlemen now who was going in these 1-1, one came out yesterday, say he's running for deputy. You now came out today, say you're running for chairman. I know that's your democratic right.
Yes.
But you don't think you would do better if you go in with a team? Because I must tell you, Hubert Minnis is coming in with a team.
Today is Wednesday, sir.
His former deputy is going to nominate him. He is going to nominate Rambert Welts.
It's Wednesday, sir.
Rambert Welts is going to nominate Braun. And that's how this can go. They're getting in the four.
Listen,
they're getting in for leader, deputy
today
leader,
is
chairman,
Wednesday.
And NDC. You're
wilding out.
Secretary General.
You are wilding out.
If you all to beat Minnis, if you all don't put a team together.
You're wilding out.
Just 1-1-1. All they're doing is spreading pentad votes.
Let me say this.
The people who are going to support Dr. Minnis, they're supporting Dr. Minnis. You can't get them no more.
I think,
appreciate your call, my brother.
I think, with respect, you underestimate the intelligence here in the party. They will select the persons, the Free National Movement, and rightly so, insofar as we want to govern the country, it is the country's business and the people's business. But at a certain level, we will conduct our affairs, and what I'm calling on all and sundry, whether it be Dr. Minnis is challenging or whoever, we must do it with the level of courtesy and respect that it deserves. And even if it's not persons from in our party for the things that I'm seeing being said on social media, I'm calling on all to cease and desist. But in our party is one of dissent. That is how we were created. Persons challenged no less than Sir Cecil. And Sir Cecil said afterwards, someone's telling me the story, well, I've won. That is the end of that. We must go on. So at the end of the day, whoever wants to come, let them come. When the dust is settled, we will be a unified, well-oiled machine going to take this country and lead it in the direction that it ought to go.
I like it. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in with us today. We're sitting with none other than Ellsworth Johnson. Today is Wednesday. Let's be very clear. Today is Wednesday.
Yes.
You have two more days. Two good days. Before you could nominate at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Yes. We haven't seen anything come from Dr. Minnis. He says he's considering. The consideration is expanded to a point where we don't know whether or not on one side or the other. We're waiting to see exactly what's happening. And so I called my mother last night, right? And just having a quick conversation. But I said, so you're coming on June 1st, eh? So she said, coming for what? So I said, what the hell do you mean you're coming for? Mommy, you're coming to vote, right? So she said, oh, well, I can't vote. I said, what you mean? She said, because I'm not financial in the organization. I haven't been doing those things. They said, mommy, how much it is? I can take care of that fund. Let me know, right? So she said, no, beyond the financial position, you have to participate and ensure that you have been able to go to X amount of meetings before you could go. I say that to say to you, all those persons out here who speculate on F&M business, how it can happen, these people may not even be financial. In the organization, you cannot vote if you're not financial. These people may not even participate in certain aspects. You're calling names, and these people are not showing to themselves at the forefront. We have two more days. My God, my show over. So we have one more day after this. That's all we got. Tomorrow, then we got to see what's going on Friday. We can be able to wait and anticipate with eagerness to be able to see what we can expect coming out of the Free National Movement. My brother, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to sit with me. It has been a refreshing conversation to hear that your conviction is steadfast for the growth and development of the country. The concept and idea for right-sizing and moving in the direction with passion and determination, empowering people, I believe is a right avenue, is a right attitude to be able to have more specifically. And I want to be able to encourage those persons to vote for you. I don't know who coming. I don't even know if my mother running for chairman. I don't know. I'm simply saying I believe that you'll be excellent for the next dispensation of leadership in the organization.
If I may, just before we go, whatever I say is not intended to be disrespectful to anybody, whether it be my leader, Mr. Michael Pintard, my chairman, Dr. Sands, former chairmans, former leaders. Because at the end of the day, I want us to appreciate that there's certain things that we do behind closed doors. And at the end of the day, whomever is successful, this is the country's business. We come out to lead the organization, to represent the dreams and aspirations of the Bahamian people, and to win this government and take it out of the hands of these persons who have no care, not all, for this country.
I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. Thank you so very kindly for tuning in. Tomorrow is going to be Small Business Thursday. We're going to get into those things. I want you to be able to give me a call if you want to participate. I don't think I have no slots available, but give me a shout at any event. 827-0111. We're going to see you tomorrow, Godspeed, right here on The Foundation. Have a great day, guys.
The Foundation.